Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Thursday, April 23rd. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. A Natrona County judge heard arguments yesterday about the state's new abortion law. Most abortions are illegal in Wyoming starting at about 6 weeks. But the judge has not made a decision on whether he will block the law as litigation continues. Abortion rights supporters have sued the state to restore access. That's after the Human Heartbeat Act went into effect. Janine Forsyth is with Chelsea's Fund. She says lawmakers have taken a, quote, death by a thousand cuts approach to restricting abortions.
If you can't restrict access to this care, just on the face of it, we're just going to make it real hard to get and put as many barriers in place that we can.
The Wyoming Supreme Court struck down the state's more sweeping abortion bans earlier this year. The state has argued it has a compelling interest to protect the life of, quote, unborn children. The University of Wyoming's prison education program could soon reach the state's highest security prison. Wyoming Public Radio's Jeff Victor reports that's thanks to a new grant.
A new $500,000 grant from the Mellon Foundation aims to expand pathways from prison. UW professor Rob Coulter runs the program. He says it could soon enter the state penitentiary in Rawlins.
These are human beings, and I think education is a sort of a fundamental right, and they should have access to it.
The program started with memoir writing and other one-off classes a decade ago. Today, six prisoners from the Women's Center in Lusk are on track to graduate with four-year degrees this summer. Research shows prisoners who receive a college education behind bars are less likely to be reincarcerated in the future. The Mellon grant will also fund new student positions and better compensate the UW instructors who give their time to educate prisoners. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jeff Victor.
Teachers, bus drivers, and custodians with Teton County School District can expect to see pay and pension increases in coming years. That's after state lawmakers passed the first big funding adjustment, called recalibration, in 16 years. After several rounds of advocacy in Cheyenne, District Director of Resources Kristen Mayo is breathing a sigh of relief.
I think we're going to survive this. It has been very challenging. And so I think overall, by the time we get this wrapped up, our staff will be very happy, and it'll be a good year.
The details are fuzzy, as some say. It's unclear what compliance looks like. Some state changes as a result of recalibration may force activity cuts and less generous health insurance for families. School board members plan to send a letter to the Superintendent of Public Instruction to ask for guidance. The U.S. House has unanimously advanced three measures that seek to improve rural broadband. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports that lawmakers across our region helped push the measure through.
The bills could be a significant step toward closing the digital divide, especially for rural, low-income, and tribal communities where access to the internet can be spotty or expensive. The divide, lawmakers say, affects everything from access to education, employment, healthcare, and civic participation.
I commend my colleagues in the Western Caucus.
Utah Congresswoman Celeste Malloy, who chairs the conservative Congressional Western Caucus, says the bills would represent an investment in the future.
And livelihoods of rural America, the Western states, and our Western values.
The bills would create an interagency strike force to review applications for projects on public lands. They would also streamline the application process and establish a vetting procedure with the Federal Communications Commission to monitor and track broadband services. In Las Vegas, I'm Yvette Fernandez with the Mountain West News Bureau.
Ski resorts that operate on public lands may soon have more flexibility to adapt to a changing climate under a new federal rule. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports.
More than 120 ski areas operate on U.S. Forest Service land. To get their permits, they have to be primarily focused on winter sports. For more than a decade, that's been measured by revenue, how much money comes from skiing. But the Forest Service is now scrapping that test, saying it'll look at a broader set of factors. Marie Feldman is a lawyer in Boise, Idaho, who works with companies to get permits on public lands. He says the change could give resorts more flexibility for years with less snowfall.
You could now conceivably have an area where the non-ski use generates greater revenue.
The agency doesn't mention climate change in the rule, but it says many ski areas are increasingly relying on revenue from things like mountain biking and ziplining because of fluctuations in seasonal snow conditions. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Pinedale High School junior is on his way to an international science fair after winning four straight championships at the state science fair. The Pinedale Roundup reports Ash Cooper invented an overdose detection device called Second Chances. It's a wearable that alerts people if it detects a potential overdose so they can get help. The tool has won him several awards, but Cooper's biggest dream is to get it used in the real world. An animated film produced by the Heart Mountain Wyoming Foundation has won several awards. The Powell Tribune reports Hello Maggie is adapted from a book by two Asian American men who were incarcerated as children during World War II. It claimed the Best Short Film Award at the Tiger Tail Asian Film Festival in Florida. Its musical score was also named Best Original Score at the London Movie Awards. Converse County residents recently had a space visitor that's vanished. Oil City News reports people in and out of the state reported a bright streak of light in the sky. Shortly after, many in Douglas felt a window-rattling bang. The National Weather Service confirmed it could have been a meteor, though no one has found it yet. It's thought to have disintegrated somewhere near Wright. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What are the highest and lowest elevations in Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what was the first radio station in Wyoming? Well, the very first radio station in the state was KFBU, Laramie. It was licensed in 1922, but it ceased operation in 1929. The oldest station still in existence was initially licensed as KDFN in Casper. It's still broadcasting, but now it has the call letters KTWO, K2. Congratulations to Steve Johnson, who was the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Palke, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day, and join me again tomorrow.